Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. As we continue to talk about warfare and these type of things, this is actually a teaching that I brought to the IP retreat, and so it bears repeating here. So Philippians chapter 4. So therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Turn this air on. All right, so Philippians chapter 4, it may not seem like it on the surface, but this is actually a powerful little chapter on spiritual warfare. And it starts off, and he talks about these two ladies, right? These were Euodia and they were Syntyche. And he tells them, you know, you guys need to live in harmony. Now, the point of this passage that's laid out here is that when it says here, you know, indeed, true comrade, and so he begins to use a military term, I ask you also to help these women, and the word there is who have shared my struggle. You know, most scholars have translated that, you know, to say that who did spiritual warfare on my behalf. And so these two ladies were intercessors. And they were probably intercessors in the church in Philippi, you know, and they shared the struggle also with Clement, and there seemed to be a group of praying people, you know, that came together to pray for the ministry, to pray for Paul, to pray for the church in Philippi, to pray for the gospel being spread out, you know, but something was happening in the midst of their warfare. And this is a very, very, very common thing that the enemy will do. You know, and you guys have seen it before. I mean, if you're Korean, right, you've seen it many, many times. You know, you have, you know, two seemingly spiritual people, you know, very strong-willed people, and they can't get along in church. You know, which is confusing to a lot of people because, hey, they're spiritual. You know, they're praying people. You know, but something is wrong in the relationship, and for some whatever reason it may be, he doesn't really share what reason it is, because that's really not important. You know, but for some reason, they're not getting along with each other. You know, two powerful praying women in the church are not getting along. This is very common in the church, friends. You know, and Paul urges them and says, look, listen, guys, you need to live in harmony. You know, you need to live in peace. You know, in your life regarding this thing, and he begins to share with them how they can do this thing. See, when we talk about warfare, you know, and let's say, you know, all of a sudden people are getting sick, right? I don't know if you've noticed, but all of a sudden at church, people are getting sick. You know, we're, you know, people that are praying are getting sick, you know, people that are that we love, you know, like our family members and whatnot, they're getting sick, and, you know, and all these things are kind of happening, right? That's like elementary, like spiritual warfare 101, right? I mean, it's just so elementary. It's like the devil, I mean, what kind of tactic is this? It's just so obvious, right? But see, he goes through different layers, and then the real thing that you need to be aware of that happens in the church, right, is that the enemy, what he's really after is to break the unity. That's why the Holy Spirit's main job, right, in the scriptures, right, in the body of Christ, is to bring unity. That's why it's called the unity of the Spirit. You know, and you see, in the book of Acts, right, you see Ananias and Sapphira, right? They sin. I mean, they promised God. God didn't even ask him for it, right? And they said they saw Barnabas' example. He sold a plot of land, gave it to the apostles' feet. And so Ananias and Sapphira decided to do the same thing, but they died. Now, that would seem quite harsh, you know, but if you look at Acts, you know, I think it's Acts chapter 5, very clearly it says, you have sinned against God, and you have sinned against the Holy Spirit. So Peter makes a very, very clear case that they sinned against two parts of the Trinity here. You sin against God because you lied, but you sin against the Holy Spirit because you broke the pristine unity of the church. You know, and so, and you know, and you got to understand, God will go to war against anyone that would break apart the unity. You know, remember Jesus, you know, before says, you cause one of these to stumble, it's better than a mill, right, stone be hung around your neck. He goes to war against someone that would break the unity in the church. You know, and so he comes, and he begins to share with these ladies, says, listen, you guys need to live in harmony. This is a demonic assignment to bring discord and disunity in the church. And so the enemy doesn't use, you know, like Joe Blow Christian that comes once a month. Who's the enemy going to attack through? It's going to attack through mature people that have influence, that have a following, you know, that people respect, you know, that people look up to, you know, and the enemy in some, you know, way, again, we don't know how it happened, but it happened. And so these two ladies are in disharmony with each other, and Paul urges them, and he says, listen, ladies, you got to live in harmony in the Lord, right? You know, something needs to happen. You know, you shared my struggle. You need to continue to share that. And this is what he says, and this is how it's going to happen. He says, rejoice. Rejoice. He starts off chapter 3 saying that, to rejoice in the Lord. You know, let God, you know, do something inside of us, and let your forbearing spirit, in other words, your ability to handle weight, you know, your ability to handle criticism, you know, your ability to handle disagreement, you know, let your forbearing spirit, you know, when we say that someone has a forbearing spirit, you know, what we mean by that is someone is able to carry another person's weight. You know, and so they're forbearing in this way. And it says, and let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Why? Listen, friends, you can't be in argument for so long because the Lord is near, right? Because he's coming. And it says, be anxious for nothing, right? And all these things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right? With thanksgiving. You know, a lot of times when we're in distress or we're having disagreement, it's hard to thank God for that person, isn't it? It's hard to thank God, you know, for, you know, what's going on in that person's life or what's going on in your life. And he says, all the requests you give, all the things that you're praying for, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then he says, and then the peace of God, the shalom of God, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, right? The word there is garrison. It's not just one guard. It's a whole Roman battalion that will come, right, and guard your heart and mind. And then he goes even further. He says, finally, let me tell you how else you overcome this disunity and disharmony. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, you know, whatever these things is, let your mind dwell on these things. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, he's saying to Yudia, there's something good about Syntek. I don't know, there's something good about her. Let your mind dwell on those things. There's something good, Syntek, there's something good about Yudia. You know, she has good qualities. Focus on those good qualities instead of the other ones. On things above. You know, and when we're encountering disagreements and when we're going through difficulties, what is the first thing that we think about? We think about the bad things, don't we? You know, when I'm arguing with my wife or there's discord, man, I'm always thinking about, you know, those times that she disappointed me. I'm thinking about those times that she hurt me. I'm thinking about those times, well, it's usually the other way around, right? She's thinking about those times I did those things to her. You know, but that's the first thing that comes to mind, right? You know, if you're in a relationship, you know this, right? There's a little disunity, something's happening, and all of a sudden, right, your file cabinet of all the bad things that person has done comes right to the forefront. And Paul says, no. Let me give you a different way. Whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever, you know, is a good reputation, whatever is excellent and worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on those things, right? And there are, let's say there's discord or whatnot, you know, whatever happens, focus on the good things about that person. You know, it's hard because when you're mad and angry and, you know, and you feel hurt and all these things, it's hard to focus on the good things. But that's the Spirit of Christ. And Paul says, focus on those things, right? Focus on those things that are important. You know, and then he says, look, you know, you learned it, you received it, you heard, you've seen in me, right? Then he says, practice these things. He didn't say, think about it some more or meditate on these things. You know, he said, do it. You know, exactly the thing I'm telling you, the way that I've presented myself and all these things, do these things and the God of peace shall be with you. Right? He will come and bring you exactly what you need to succeed. Right? He'll overpower you, overwhelm us with his grace and with his presence. Right? I urge you, Sinte, to live in harmony in the Lord. You know, Paul is, you know, and if you read in the scriptures, right? Usually Paul, when he has, you know, some kind of disturbance among people, he just tells people to cut it off, right? You know, in fact, if you read the chapter just before, he's basically, you know, said he's been weeping, you know, can't even mention people that have fallen away, basically, right? And then he tells these two ladies, says, you need to live in harmony. He doesn't cut them off because they're of great value to the kingdom, right? They're of great value to his ministry and the church in Philippi. You know, they share their struggle with Clement and the others also. It says, live in harmony. Focus on things above. Whatever is going on, right, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, don't argue with each other. Go talk to God about it. All right? Don't argue with each other. You know, go talk to God about it with thanksgiving, you know, and see what he does, you know, in the midst of these things. And it's important, you know, that in verse 7 that Paul had to use that word garrison, you know, because a lot of times it's like a warfare just to be able to think good thoughts over somebody, right? You know, you got to understand, this is what the enemy is going to do. This is how he's going to attack Solomon's porch. Yeah, sickness, so easy, right? But he's going to come at us, right, in terms of relationships. You know, he's going to come at us in terms of, you know, spiritual people that feel like they heard from the Lord, right, but that really didn't submit themselves to the body of Christ. It's inevitable that happens, and it's been happening, you know. Because there's one thing to hear from God, there's a whole other thing to be submitted to leadership. You know, you could hear from God and not be submitted to leadership, and you could be wrong. Did you know that? You know, God has a bigger thing than just being right. You know, I don't know if you've noticed that, you know, in your life or in the scriptures, right? You know, God's always right, but our need to be right. You know, and there's some things that are so much more important than our need to be right. You know, and so we have to recognize and see that, man, there could be an assignment against relationships. You know, and you know, I shared before, you know, a lot of church splits, and, you know, especially I mentioned with Koreans, you know, when you look at this, a lot of splits of these kind of things happen. A lot of it is simply, you know, as a result of the fact that people did not submit themselves to one another. You know, they may have heard from God, but it was my way, right, and not God's way. You know, I'm so clear, this is the word of the Lord, and it was their way, you know, instead of submitting themselves to leadership, submitting themselves to, you know, the headship of Christ. And it became their way instead of God's way. And because they did not look at others as more important than themselves, they begin to drive their agenda, right? And there you go. That's all it takes. You know, Isaiah talks about Lucifer and why he fell. He says, I will ascend. I will lift up. I will do this. I will do that. You know, and as soon as it becomes my way, we have come under, right, the guise of the enemy, the tactics of the devil. You know, and so there's something more about than just being right. You know, and you got to understand, this is how the enemy will attack us. You know, and we can live in a facade thinking, well, I really hear from the Lord and you don't and this and that. Right, but I'm telling you, man, if that does not come under the submission of the head, right, the head of the church, the head of the body, then we're in big trouble, you know, and you're literally walking in a deception, you know, just like these two ladies did. I'm sure these ladies were powerful, you know, I'm sure they were well-loved in the body of, you know, at Philippi. I'm sure they had their own following, and they had people that respected them, and yet they were arguing each other. Has that ever confused you? That confused me tons. You know, in my days of church, right? Just knowing that, you know, such a spiritual person, you know, couldn't get along with another person that was so spiritual. I'd be like, you know, man, you both love the Lord, you know, you both hear from God, you're both gifted. Why can't you just get along? I mean, isn't that troubling, right? Why do you think that is? It's a demonic assignment, you know, and we need to be aware of that, you know, and pray against it. And make sure that, you know, number one, that each one of us, right, that we humble ourselves and we submit, you know, to the lordship of Christ and to submit to the leadership of the church. It's important that that happens. So let's close our eyes today. I hope this was a meaningful teaching for you. I know it was always for me. We're going to pray a few different ways today. And so I'll lead us during that prayer time. But right now, just for yourself, just ask yourself, in the body of Christ, do you have any disagreement with anybody? Is there any tension that you have? Or you know someone that has tension with you? Let's just begin to talk to God about it. If you're having trouble with somebody in the body of Christ, during this worship time, think good thoughts about this person. Thank God for this person. Begin to ask God for just the beautiful qualities in their life. And just begin to thank God for that. I know it's tough to do. But this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus kissed his enemies. And so as Samantha leads us, let's just meditate on that for a moment.
There's an empty tomb that tells me of your resurrection and my life in you. The stone lies rolled away, nothing but those folded grave clothes where your body lay. Now that I'm living as a risen child of God, my every road leads to the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. I won't forget the love you've shown.
So let's pray over us. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray in this way. Firstly, let's pray for relationships at church. Let's pray for our married couples and their relationship. Let's pray for parents and their relationship with their kids. Let's pray for boyfriends and girlfriends and their relationships with one another. Let's pray for friends in church and their relationship with one another. Let's pray. Let's just cover this whole area of relationships. And, you know, this is, you know, one of the strongest demonic assignments that the enemy will place upon a body in dealing with relationships. And so let's pray that you know, we'd follow these principles, that we'd always look at each other more important than ourselves. You know, that we would always, you know, think good thoughts and always begin to speak out and point out the very good things. And if there's any conflict or whatever, that we would just place at the Lord's feet and not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we thank God for the circumstance and allow His peace to come and garrison our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So let's just cover relationships. If you're in a dating relationship, cover your girlfriend. If you're married, cover your spouse and your kids. All right, let's just flood our relationships with prayer right now. Let's also lift up our leaders at church, and let's pray that the leaders, every single one, no matter what ministry, a house church leader, a ministry leader, worship leaders, you know, Noah's Ark, whatever it may be, that there would just be such harmony, there would be such unity of the Spirit, that we would all be on the same page with what God is doing. You know, and out of that it would just flow. See, unity is not necessarily a horizontal thing. Unity is actually a vertical thing. Because if we are really united, and in other words, if we really have God's purpose and God's heart in our mind, right, then having harmony with each other is quite easy. The reason why we have disharmony with one another horizontally is because we're not connected vertically. And so let's pray for all the leaders of church to be connected with God, that we would operate out of His vision, out of His heart, and then all the relationships would flow out of that. Right? Because if we just want what God wants, right, everything flows. And so let's just lift up all the leaders at church. Let's pray over our house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's pray over Tregunter and Causeway Bay, Magdaddy, Kowloon, and Robinson Road. Let's ask God to bless these leaders and let there be such a spirit of unity, right? Just of love and of care and of grace as they gather together tonight in their house churches. That let people consider this time as important and get off work and come and contribute to what God is doing in their house churches. Let's just lift them up tonight. Let's pray for our building search and our building fund, our finances. And let's ask God to continue to provide for us and use our members and bless them as they are able to give. And let's pray that you know, hopefully by the end of this year that we'll have some traction in moving somewhere. And so let's ask God to really do a miracle in the midst of us. And lastly, let's pray for our Australia trip that's coming up. Myself and Tom and Jeremy, we're flying out tonight at midnight. Tomorrow night, Jean-Marc and Jamie are flying out. And then Friday night, Sujin and Juanita are flying out. And so let's pray for safe travels and just really pray for just God's word to be done at the retreats and the conferences that I'll be at, that we'll be at as a team. So let's just cover. We bless you, Father, for all things that you're doing in our lives. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you desire, God, that love, Lord, would be the standard here at Solomon's Porch, God. And Lord, and if anyone is having difficulty loving someone else, God, and Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in our lives, God, that you would change us, transform us. Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would come and bring the unity, God, that you embody, Father God, in the life of the church. Lord, we just cover the leaders, God, and the ones that are on the front lines, God, in prayer. And we pray, God, that every single one would live in harmony, God, that they would be connected to you with one another. We thank you. Watch over all of our activities today, God, and let it be glorifying to you, Father. We bless you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. I'll see you in a few weeks, but we'll see the rest of you tomorrow. Others will.